So this is Elaine, and this is the Thursday Evening Coaches Club group, and in November. And we are coming together tonight to talk about systems and structures. But before we do, I want to just check in with the folks on the call and find out how things are going since the last call. And you know, based on what you wanted to be held accountable to, what you were committing to, how have things gone, what's worked, what's not worked. Just a little check-in on what's up for each of you. And a reminder that it's a small crowd tonight, so you can't wait for somebody else to talk first.
This is Laura, and my son is Zachary. He's a 14-year-old. And I've been trying to be careful about not talking to him too much in the car on the way home, and that's been going pretty well. But we've been having a bunch of problems this week with notes and assignments missed from the teacher. So, Lana, I just heard you mentioning that you wanted to talk about structures for that stuff, and I would just like to second that motion. So,
good.
Trying to figure out how to get him to do the things that will help him that he refuses to do.
Cool. Okay. So tell us,
we're not fighting in the car.
Check in on how did using parenting positively work for you in the last couple of weeks?
I think that really just trying to look for what are the trigger moments, you know, where should I stay away from? You know, what places do I know are most likely to get everybody frustrated? And so really trying to take the high side and not go in on those things. You know, he gets in the car, I want to know what's for homework, what's for this, what's for that. And he just needs time. He can't do it. He's tired. He's crabby. He's hungry. And I just need to do nothing more than greet him and let him start a conversation if he wants to. And so mm-hmm. I think that because that's really been our biggest fighting point. And so just now trying to come back around to some of the structures that we maybe set up at the beginning of the year and aren't checking as much because he seemed to be getting it, and now we're not checking as much, and now he's dropping off. And so I think that's going to fall back on us, you know, to double check. You know, we're trying to give him more leeway, and I think he's not ready for leeway. I think it still needs to be checked in on. But, you know, just watching for those triggers and being friendly about things and knowing that he's going to be crabby at certain times, and so not talking to him about any big things. And, you know, we joke around a lot, so I don't know that we added more humor per se, but I think really those trigger spots have been a big thing for me to remind myself,
so,
because he'll get
what's
me mad.
The result in the family? What's been the dynamic in the family with him or since you've sort of shifted this approach?
I think the rest of the evening is calmer because when we start by fighting in the car 2 seconds after school, the rest of the night kind of trails along the same lines. And so if we can just keep that from happening and get the snack and get the homework without me necessarily hovering in that first hour, everybody does better for the rest of the night. So
right.
Otherwise, when we start fighting, the whole night's shot because
right.
It's just hard to pull myself back down, to pull him back down. And so it just works so much better. So if I can just shut up in the car, things are more successful for everyone. So
great.
It really affects the whole night. So just that 1 hour, you know, from 3:30 to 4:30, it's just everyone go their own direction for those 60 minutes.
That's great.
So that's been a good thing.
So the only other question that comes up for me, because it's great to hear that little tweak is making a big difference, is how is it for you? I mean, are you struggling with it? Are you finding it relatively easy to do? Are you biding your time? Like,
No, I'm not finding it easy. I'm not finding it easy because I want to find out, and I don't have a lot of time, especially on nights when he has karate, because it's literally like we get home, he's got to rush to eat, rush to get his homework done, get out of the house, drive 25 minutes, do the karate, get home, brush teeth, get ready for bed. So it's, you know, I feel like that 30 minutes in the car, it's not 30 minutes, that 15 minutes in the car is sometimes the only time I have him trapped where he can answer my questions. And so he, you know, he doesn't like that, and I just have to back off and pick another time. And after dinner is a good time.
And hear the word you use, trapped.
Yes, I think that's how he feels. And for me, I feel like, okay, I've got him in one place. This is a good time. We're in the car together. Let's find out what's your homework load, what do we have to do, let's plan our night. He does not see that as helpful. He sees that as me trying to force my way on him, and he's tired and crabby and doesn't want to talk about it, and he won't be clear, and he's going to give me little half answers that are just going to make me irritated. And so it's not good. It's not good. And actually, I blew my own policy today because I didn't get – he had tutoring after school today, and he's got karate tonight. And so I literally only had that 15-minute window, and I'd gotten an email from his teacher talking about class behavior, missed assignments, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, could you please read this? I said it nicely, but it didn't change the fact that I shouldn't have talked to him about it in the car because – and then from that point on, it was just, I don't care. I don't even care about this. I don't care what she says. So I think I should have just had him come home and eat a snack and start his homework and then talk to him about it. But, you know, it was my own thought, well, maybe we can do this. We've had such fine car trips the last several days. We had such fine car trips because I was shutting up. So
and it ties in nicely to the topic of tonight, but here's the other thing as I hear is we have this tendency to get a system in place, and then once it's working, we say, oh, well, we're fine now, and we drop
it. Right, and break it.
And
yeah.
And you've mentioned it twice tonight, right?
Exactly.
So that's the thing maybe for you to pay attention to in systems is to, you know, how do you hold on to it after it feels like it's working?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Don't let it go because it's working. It's like, you know, the schizophrenic guy saying he feels fine so he's not going to take his meds anymore.
Right.
It just backfires. So
now
it's backfired on me twice.
Now, I heard somebody giggling when she was talking. So
I was giggling because I could relate. I mean, I've had exactly the same experiences. Being in the car, you know, learning that I have to, you know, give him space. We're very quiet in the car. Sometimes I turn on the radio. Sometimes he'll play music. Sometimes he'll talk to me, but most of the time not. And moments where I've, you know, gotten an email from the school, and it's really hard for me to wait till I get home and wait until a better time to show him that, to go over that. I mean, that one actually used to happen more frequently last year in eighth grade. But, you know, but I still feel that and how hard it is to be in a car with someone and not chatting, not talking, not connecting, not communicating. To me, it just feels really awkward. So, you know, I feel a little bit like the chauffeur.
You got in my room.
So, but, you know, I think for me, too, it's holding on to the system. And, you know, it's like we said at the beginning of the call, things keep changing. He keeps pulling the plug on the systems. You know, we had, like, this whole great system we were rocking in the beginning of the school year where, you know, nighttime is shower, there's a certain bedtime. You know, and it was like everything flowed really well. And now it's like, I don't have to take a shower. I'll take it in the morning. And then it's like that arguing, and the meds are all worn off, and you're tired, and he's tired, and it's like you just don't want to get into any big deals. So you're like, okay, you can take a shower in the morning. And then, you know, it's like it just seems like everything starts to unravel slowly. And now you know, we're in November, and my husband's like, we have to have a meeting this weekend because just a lot of things are kind of falling through and we're not sticking to our system. So it gets really hard because when you have a lot of system-y kind of stuff in place for your life together because it's necessary, then there's a lot of places where it can get pulled apart. And it's also hard to remember everything you've set up. I mean, we write them down, but it's like if I don't post them, and then look at them. I even, and I don't have ADD, but like I forget. Oh, did we set that up? Is that what we did? What did we say? You know. So I'm sure that there must be some of that going on for the kids, and you know, the kid in the process.
Right. So you've really sort of hit on and reinforced this theme of, and we're going to talk more about systems in a little while, but it's not just about establishing the systems, but it's how do you make systems that work for everybody, and how do you hold fast to them,
mm-hmm.
right? So what has gone well, Lana? What's how did it work with positive parenting, or?
Well, I think for me that when I, you know, look back over the last 2 weeks, definitely getting those small bits of appreciation in and looking at when things are going well, when things are getting done that are supposed to get done, to just say thank you, or, you know, I'm so glad you did that, or that works, but trying to always come at from a place of calm and I guess you could say grateful as well, but not necessarily always that, but pointing out the positives that, okay, yeah, you did that. Great. You did follow the system, or you did get your homework done, or da, da, da. And we also have a checklist, so that helps us each day, like, okay, checking off what he did do. And there's always more that he did than what he didn't do. So that's really great.
That is great. So how's it affecting the family dynamic?
I definitely think, you know, similar to what Laura was saying, there's this, I mean, I think her picture sounds like there was a major shift, and it sounds wonderful. For us, I think it's a little bit more subtle, because I didn't have like a major shift to make, but I think that it's definitely, when you have those interruptions where you're arguing or you're having like emotional responses on a regular, frequent basis throughout the night, then you're definitely interrupting the flow. You're interrupting your day. And it's not as much of a roller coaster. So it's, I think, a lot more even-keeled, easygoing, moving forward, you know, like that. I would say that's really more the picture now.
Well, and sometimes the subtle changes are just what we want. You know, it's the little incremental changes that really make the difference. It's not always going to be a cataclysmic shift, right?
Yeah.
And that would get exhausting, too.
yeah, definitely. It's just sometimes you can kind of miss the good things that are happening. So it's been a good idea to focus on what is working and what is positive, and to really try to keep the eye on that, because it's so easy
right.
to go, oh, this is wrong, this has to get fixed, you know.
Great. Thanks. So, Krista, what about you? How's your couple weeks been?
Good. I missed the last call, so and I have to confess I didn't follow up and listen to the workshop. But a couple things have been happening. I attended a call on medication that you did, a webinar on
medication
and
pitfalls.
Because I had wondered for a while whether we were all doing the right thing. And so I had attended that, and then I already had an appointment scheduled, and we adjusted his medication and saw some real positive changes. And we've just sort of been riding that wave. And it's so wonderful is that other people are noticing. Like,
uh-huh.
you know, the after-school person comes up to me and he stops me and says, I just really want to tell you how amazing Miles has been and how he's really, you know, just been so remarkable. And he doesn't have any reference point on why he would be that. But just for Miles to be getting so much positive reinforcement.
That's awesome. And I just have to say that particular webinar, I think a half a dozen people in the COPUS Club have changed their children's medications as a result of that, and are getting incredible results.
I said
on the call earlier today, I've been sort of pleased, surprised, but almost pleasantly surprised at how many people from this small sampling of parents have made changes and found really dramatic results. So it's been a great, I think, reinforcement for us to remember that it's not just medication, but it's making sure you get the right medication. If you're going to go that route, but to really make the effort to get it right.
And it was funny, I was kind of giving an analogy to a family member, and I was just sort of saying it's kind of like giving your child hearing aids but not turning them up to the right level. So you think, well, he can hear a little bit better, like he's noticing, you know, but he's not necessarily you're not seeing the dramatic, not a dramatic difference. But I guess the biggest thing that you said was just that he's using his whole brain is engaged. And so I guess the thing that we've been working on is a lot around sort of activating the brain. And for me as a mom, to just sort of figuring out where he's at that moment in time and to parent from that place of knowledge. And so that's in both, you know, when we're doing homework or when we're doing things and we've been doing crazy things like jumping jacks between different pages and for homework, and you know, and he loves it. He loves feeling like, okay, let's go do some jumping jacks and get some blood flowing, you know, and just feel like he can then sit down and he knows to focus. So it's I would say that those kinds of things have been, but I absolutely commit to going back and listening to the positive parenting thing, because that still weighs heavy on me, that I feel it so empathize with what everyone else said about just the anxiety of what will I hear today, what's going on,
right,
how much homework do we have, and will we get it done before midnight, or, you know, or what's going on, or how much struggle is ahead of me, and feeling like I'm processing my kid and not enjoying him.
That's a great way to put it, the processing, not enjoying.
Yeah, and I want to enjoy him. And I love when, you know, I can come home and we can just be fun and playful and not feel like, yes, you know, like march, the forced march to bedtime.
Right.
So cool. So it sounds like there's
progress being made in whatever front the last couple of weeks. And when it's not, you're able to look at it and see it and tweak and change and learn from it. So bravo for the successes and bravo for failing forward, which is one of my favorite things to do, because the alternative is no fun. So what I want to do, before we talk a little bit more about systems and structures, I just want to give everybody a chance to identify what's the challenge area that you would like to be working on this upcoming couple of weeks. So I don't know if you've given it thought or if it's coming up now in this conversation, but what is it, what do you want to take aim on? And if you remember the parenting action model, whenever we're trying to create change, we want to really take aim. In the call earlier today, we were talking about getting more and more specific about what you're taking aim on and actually looking at what's the change that you're looking for, what's the change you're trying to achieve, and then getting clear about what that is and what you need to know about it to make it happen. So what's the change you're looking for? What's the challenge?
This is Krista. Miles has really challenged with sleep. Sleep is just not his best friend. Even before he was on meds, it was never his best friend. I mean, he's a great sleeper once he's asleep, but not getting to sleep. And so I don't know whether to choose bedtime as the system or the morning, but they're so interrelated. I can't, you know, if I can't get him to bed, I can't get him up in the morning, and I can't have a decent morning.
So what I want to, let me shift it with you a little bit, rather than, because we'll get to the system piece in a minute, but the challenge you're looking for is you want to help them go to sleep easier.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. So going to sleep. Okay?
Perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
So, and do you hear how, yes, the impact of that is on mornings, is nighttime, is all sorts of different symptoms around it, but the underlying
mm-hmm.
issue is his ability to easily enough go to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Somebody else.
This is Lana. Well, I definitely, and I know his tutor agrees, you know, we really want him to be using, when he chose this system to use, this is now his second or third system.
Can you speak up a little bit, Lana? It's very hard to hear you.
Sure. It might be my phone. Is that better?
That is a little better, yeah.
Okay. So what we're really hoping for is a change in his commitment to using his homework planner system that he's created. You know, I mean, I could say that, but there's also the nighttime morning routine system. There's really two systems that...
So I don't want you to look at systems. I'm going to redirect you a little bit. I want you to identify what's the challenge or the problem you want to see changed. So if we're talking about a planner, then what is it that it's trying to accomplish that you want to see changed?
Better
or same with bedtime. I mean, choose the area. I don't want to prescribe that for you.
Okay.
But we'll get into the system. So I want you to start by taking aim on the problem.
So the problem is, I don't know if this is what you mean, but it's he doesn't seem committed to following the systems that are in place. Like that commitment just isn't there, or that motivation. Is that what you mean?
So is it about helping him get finding the motivation to use his systems?
Yeah. That would be like a dream come true. But is that even reasonable to ask?
Yes, it's reasonable to ask.
At 14.
Maybe hard to do, but
right.
It's reasonable to ask, and it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what's the purpose of using the systems? What are you looking to see changed?
Less mom and dad reminding, scolding, going on. Less having to check in and more autonomy on his part.
So the real focus, the change you're looking for is autonomy
mm-hmm.
in terms of schoolwork.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so you're taking aim on his use of the planner,
mm-hmm.
right? And the goal is, what you're really trying to see changed is we're really taking aim on his lack of ownership of his schoolwork.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Ready for the next one?
Lara?
Yep, this is Lara. Okay, so mine is very similar to hers, but slightly skewed in that Zachary tells stories about whether he's done with something or not, and it is a constant struggle to figure out when he's lying to me about it and when he's telling me the truth. And he gets mad that I don't trust him, but in one conversation, and this would boil down into every other aspect, you know, I ask if it's ready to check, and he'll go through this whole process. Did you do your homework? Yes, I did. What was your homework? Well, I don't know what it was. But if you just did it, then you would know what it was. Did you really do it? Well, I was going to do it, but I was going to do this. And then the story morphs into something else. And I'm, like, tracking this story. And when I call him on it, he just gets more defensive and angry. And I'm trying to stay calm in the process. And I'm like, okay, we've been talking for 5 minutes, and you've told me, yes, I did my homework. I don't know what the homework is. I'm doing the homework, and I already turned the homework in. And it's like a big jumble of these stories and trying to get around to what it is. And he wants us to trust him, and he gets angry
right.
when I doubt everything he says. And I don't want to doubt everything he says, and I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But
so,
as soon as I look
deeper, stop for
yep.
just a second. So what's What are you trying to see changed? What are you taking aim
at? Well, it's a combination of him taking, you know, the accountability for is his stuff done? Whatever it is, be it homework, be it brushing his teeth, be it taking the shower, whatever.
So, a minute ago you were talking about him lying or telling tales, however we want to look at it. So is that what you want to focus on, or do you want to focus on accountability?
And I'm saying yes. Well, it's because the lies come when we ask him if he's done something, and it covers lots of fields. And so, but definitely the telling stories, the lying about whether he's done it or not, so that everything he says to me, I question at this point. And so,
the target, the taking aim, the target focus for creating change right now, right, is helping him learn to tell the truth.
Probably.
Okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want to make sure that's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I think the fact is that, I mean, it's such a double-edged sword because he is trying to get around being accountable by lying.
Of course he is.
So it's not like you say, how's your day? And he says, we went to the zoo and we did all these things and it's all a lie. It's only pertaining to whether he did the things he was asked to do. You know, he doesn't weave stories for the rest of his life, but he does when he most likely hasn't done something.
So it's telling the truth about his responsibilities.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. That narrows it, the focus even more.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you all see how part of what we're doing here, and I keep sort of pushing you on the topic that you're taking aim on, is to keep drilling down until you get clear on what's the behavior you're really trying to change. Right? Because we can talk about, you know, mornings all day long, but until you get very specific about, you know, waking up and getting out of bed, if that's really what the underlying problem is, then you have something you can do something about, right? So what I get is, for Krista, the focus is on helping him go to sleep, and for Lana, it's sort of focusing on ownership of schoolwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lara, it's ownership of responsibilities.
Yes.
Okay. Are we on target?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Cool. Okay.
Although, do we all get to benefit from each other's? Because I could have
absolutely.
Done it.
Well, we'll choose, you know, one person will get some coaching, but everybody gets, I mean, it's, you know, as you learn, it's all applicable to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just talk for a little bit about systems and structures, because we've already talked a fair amount about around them, but I want to sort of just hit it head on, okay? So remember that we've got, you know, as we get into the action model, when we get into the planning stage, there's four critical response areas that we pull from, and we've been covering them in the last three calls. So we started off with activating the brain, which is what Krista said she's really been working on a lot still, which is great. And then we talked about shifting expectations, then positive parenting. And now the fourth of the four strategic areas are systems and structures. And what we like about these four is that anything else that happens, any challenge that comes up, you can address it with one of these four areas. So, and using systems and structures is sort of the one that permeates all of them. So when we talk about systems and structures, there are a couple of places to look. One of them is that we want to always be clear on whether we're talking about systems for prevention or systems for management. And they work for both. We just have to, we want to be conscious of it when we're doing that and pay attention to when we're trying to prevent something from happening versus when we're trying to deal with something that has happened. And Laura, the best example of that is the strategy of not talking to Zachary right after school, right, is a prevention because you're preventing an escalated energy happening around the house by anticipating that that's not a good time to handle something, right?
Yes.
And then the other way is management. You're in the middle of it. How do I go to him and talk to him about the letter from the teacher?
Yes.
So those are the two different places. Yeah. And then the other thing is that, you know, we've touched on this a lot tonight, too, is that some of these are systems for them, and sometimes they're systems for us. And we want to look at and remember that both of them are applicable. Mm-hmm. That sometimes it's about helping him use the planner. That's a system for him. And sometimes it's about how do I manage my triggers so that I'm not escalating things, as Laura was talking about earlier, right? So that's sort of the framework for using systems and structures. Those are the two or four different ways that we use them. And there are a lot of different tools within systems and structures, obviously, but generally speaking, ADHD brains that are challenged with executive function are often challenged in two areas in particular where systems and structures can be really useful. One is activation, and that's sort of knowing what to do and actually getting yourself to do it. And then the other is working memory, keeping a lot of different items in your head and remembering to take action that you need to take. And so systems and structures can be a really useful way to support these two different challenges that come with executive dysfunction. And we use them all the time. We use to-do lists and calendars and reminder systems. Sometimes we have much more complex reward systems. Somebody was talking about you keep a list, a checklist, right, of what's going on. So we use them regularly. And they allow us to routinize behaviors and effectively to do things without always having to remember because they become part of our routine. So there are a few things to be mindful of when you're setting up a system or a structure. First is, and this is going to be a big topic tonight, I think, on all of these, for all of you, is getting buy-in. Systems are amazing and effective, but if your kid doesn't want to use it, it's not going to matter. We're going to talk about motivation in the next call, so it'll come up a little tonight, and we'll talk about it in more depth. But truly, if they don't want to use it, it's not going to be a system that works for them. Sometimes, as you did tonight, it's about letting them develop the system. But then it's also about tweaking it and working with them to help them learn how to develop a system that actually does work for them. So we want them to use systems and structures, and ultimately they have to make sense for them. So getting buy-in is really important. Second thing to remember is that you want to make them easy. You want to make it easy for everyone. You want to keep it simple, keep it manageable. Like, you know, you were talking, Lana, I think it was Lana, about a checklist. Mm-hmm. I tried to do a checklist system once, and it was a fiasco because it was too complicated for us. And I need something simpler, and I needed something I didn't have to remember to check every day. So you want to make sure that the system works for them, but also for you, and that you're not setting up a system that's harder for you to manage or maintain than the problem you're dealing with in the first place, right? You really want to make sure that it's manageable. Third point is to allow for flexibility. We want to be consistent, but we also need to make sure that there's movement and there's room for a structure and to have some changes in it. And that also means that we're flexible as we get into a system to tweak it and modify it to make it work. And to recognize sometimes with ADD, we get bored with systems, and so we may have to change it, not because it was a bad system, but because it's just too hard to stay interested any longer, right? So flexibility in a lot of realms. And then the last, and this is going to be critical also tonight, is to focus on the process. And I started touching on this earlier. Whenever you use a new system, you want to really focus on the accountability to the system itself rather than to the outcome. So, you know, an example we use in the workbook is if you want to teach your child how to study for a test, the question is not whether the child got an A on the test, but whether he studied for 15 minutes a day every day for the 5 days leading up to the test. Because that's the structure you put in place. That's what you want to hold him accountable to. And even if he fails the test, if he did that process, you want to acknowledge and reward his use of the process. Although if he did that, it's unlikely that he'll be failing the test. So putting systems and routines into place takes time, and so you have to reward the effort of using it and give them a reason to want to continue to use it. And as I said, we'll talk more about motivation sometime, but that's sort of the overview of using systems and structures, is you really want to make sure that you get their buy-in, you make it easy for you, that it has some flexibility, and that if you're really trying to get them, hold them accountable to using the system or the structure, that you make that be the goal rather than the outcome of it. So what's coming up? Questions, comments, thoughts? Is everybody still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a 10-year-old, and one of the things that I find myself doing or wondering is, am I responsible for the system that keeps him moving forward, or is he responsible? And at what age, how do you transition it so that it's their accountability? Like, so far I'm doing great on my system, but because they're keeping the house moving forward. But one of the things that I wonder is it my system with a kid that age to really be moving him to bedtime, or is it his system?
So it's an interesting question, and I'm not gonna throw it back with another question, but. So even as you ask that question, is it your job or is it his job, what do you think is the answer?
I think, you know, ultimately it's his job, but I don't know.
Is he ready to take on that job?
No.
Okay. So what's your job until he's ready to take it on?
Hello. To get him to the place where he can take that on.
Right. So say it again.
And so my thing is I'm so desperate to get him good night's sleep that, you know, I'll do what's needed to get him to that place. The rest of the day depends on it.
Okay. So it's really he's not ready to take on that responsibility, and so much else depends on it, that it's really still your job to hold on to that while you're helping him take on responsibilities in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you actually know the answer to the question, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, and I'm not saying that to be snotty, right?
Yeah,
no. But sometimes we have to remember that we really, if we trust our instincts, we really do know. But here's what I do want to say about that, because I think it's really important, and it's an analogy I use a lot. If you can imagine a building under construction, like an old building that's being cleaned, and so they have scaffolding up all over it, right? And section by section, they clean the section, and then they pull down that scaffolding. And then they do the next section, and they pull down that scaffolding. And for us, our kids, it's sort of like we're creating this scaffolding for them in every aspect of their life. And as they get a little older and learn to take on a little bit more responsibility piece by piece, we're taking down a section of scaffolding and handing the responsibility to them. And we've still got the rest of it covered while they learn to manage that one piece. And when they get that under control, then they can take down another piece of scaffolding and start working on that. Mm-hmm. If we ask them to do all of it at once, it would be absolutely overwhelming and unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
So our job is to sort of hold the scaffolding in place piece by piece and consciously have the conversations with them to teach them and help empower them to take on that scaffolding or to take on that section of responsibility for themselves one at a time. Mm-hmm. Does that metaphor sort of work for everybody?
It works for me. I like it.
Okay. Does it make sense? Because
yeah,
I think
totally.
Sometimes we feel guilty that we're doing all these things for them. And if we were still doing all the same things for them in 10 years, that would be a problem. But if we recognize that we're trying to give them responsibility one piece at a time, and we want to be conscious with them about it, we want them to begin to understand that's what they're doing, what we're doing. That I got this and you got that. But it takes time. And it's not, particularly with a 10-year-old. Sleep is a critical issue. That's where you got to focus. That's yours. Okay?
You know, something for me that's helpful when I try to think about my 14-year-old is thinking about what you said in one of the very first sessions, which is just that you have to age them back realistically. And so I think, okay, he's 14, but he's like a 10-year-old.
Right.
And so into figure out, but see, I just tried to pull some things away and then it kind of backfired, so I think I pulled it too soon.
Well, there's two pieces to it. One may be pulling it too soon. The other is communicating that you're pulling it.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So if he knew, you got to have a hand off of the baton.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I'm handing you the baton, I need to make sure you know you've got it before I let go.
Probably
you may need
if it looks
to hold
like
on to it together for a second.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, actually, it makes a lot of sense.
And it sounds to me like what happened with him in a couple of different scenarios is that he was doing well, and so you handed it off
mentioning that that's what I was doing. Yeah.
Right.
And so I think he thought I was slacking, and now he could get away with it.
Exactly.
Not doing it anymore. Yeah.
Right. Right. But when you empower him by saying, I'm so proud that you've been doing this, are you ready to handle it on your own? I'm happy to step back if you're ready. Then it's his choice.
I think that's what I'll have to do next time.
Yeah.
Step back over and then pull back that way the next time I back off.
Yeah. So we're running a little late today because we've had a lot of conversation, but just I think it's been useful. I hope it's been useful. But is there anybody who wants to get a little bit of coaching around your challenge area, your issue?
I just want to say hello.
Hi, who's joined us?
This is Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Everybody, this is Elizabeth. She's recently joined Coaches Club.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello. Welcome.
Sorry.
Where are you calling from?
Santa Clara, California.
Beautiful. Yeah. So we are nearing the end of the call. So I will encourage you to go back and listen to it later.
Okay.
And the topic tonight has been using systems and structures.
Mm-hmm.
So of those of you who have been on the call, one of you want to just take a couple minutes. Let's just coach you a little bit around your challenge area tonight. Any of the three of you?
I'll jump in.
Who's that?
This is Lana. This is Lana.
Hello, Lana. Okay.
So I want to,
because we're really short on time, I'm going to try to focus us a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So we've talked about him using a planner. It's a system he created. But then you talked about motivation for using the planner, and the goal is sort of his ownership of his schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the conversation we've had since you were talking about that, where are you now on it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If I just look back into history for a little bit and see how, you know, we handed him the baton of making his own system this year. He's in high school. We used to, in the past, have, you know, parental checking off of what was written in his planner and teacher checking off at school that it was all down. So we have handed him the baton as he wanted it, but he's not behaving as though he's ready to handle it on his own, so that his tutor has to keep, you know, dealing with it. It's like wasting time when they're together, in a sense, because he's not following it. And so then things can slide. Which sometimes he does miss assignments, sometimes he doesn't. So it's like,
so as you say that, here's the tone I hear in your voice is he's not doing it. So what's your sense? Is that he's not or that he's not ready to, or that he needs to understand that that's his job? Which of those three sounds more accurate?
I think maybe if he understood that it's his job, then he might feel a sense more of ownership,
okay,
which is really what he needs to have here. It's really, nobody's wanting to hold the baton or hold that scaffolding up anymore. He's just, you know, he does seem ready, I think, to us, to our tutor, to his specialist that works with him. So
you think he's ready and the tutor thinks he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Does he think he's ready?
I think that's a good question to ask him.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, when you brought up this whole scaffolding thing and handing out the baton and then communicating that you're doing that, I think that's the piece that's missing for us.
Ooh.
Really?
So this is really instructive because it's not like you didn't have a system,
mm-hmm,
but there's got to be full communication and clear expectations, mm-hmm, for a system to really work.
Right.
Do you have confidence that tutors or somebody's worked with him to make sure the system he's designed is actually workable?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And it's been tweaked? I mean, does he understand that when you make a system, you have to tweak it and change it to make it work for you?
Yeah, but I think you know, we're coming to the end of the school week. She just, you know, emailed us all today that she met with him, and it's not happening. So, and I just asked him tonight before I got on the call, and he's like, da-da-da-da-da, you know, whatever excuse. So I think this weekend is a good time to have this conversation and really make it clear, look, this is what we used to have in place, and now it's your turn. Are you ready to do this? I think that will really kind of pique his imagination, I think. It will make him feel like he can take ownership of this and feel proud about it.
What does he need to hear from you?
That we know he can handle it. And that he, when he does handle it, it works really well and he's done a great job. So,
right.
And, we
and what is what else does he need to know about when that happens? What's the benefit to him?
Nobody's hounding him to, you know, get homework in or...
Okay, that's one.
Nobody,
what else? And I don't mean to discredit that. Yes, part of it is nobody's hounding him.
Mm-hmm.
What else is a benefit to him?
A sense of mastery.
Great, yeah. Sense of accomplishment and mastery.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Oh, there's more. better self-esteem.
Okay. How will his teachers perceive him?
Competent, interested, participatory. That's the right word.
Okay. So I want your homework is to brainstorm 10 more benefits to him that you can see before you ask him what the benefit will be, what he sees as his benefit.
Okay.
But I want you to have an ace in the pocket.
I love it.
Okay. So when you have a conversation with him, and we'll touch more on motivation on the next call, but help him see how it's a benefit to you, that he's not doing this as a favor to you. Sorry, how it's a benefit to him. Right?
Right.
What's he got to gain?
Right.
And also one of the places to look is what's he got to gain by in his relationship with you two, not only you being off of his back, but when he proves to you that he can do this, what else is possible in terms of his autonomy and things that he wants for himself as you begin to trust him more?
Oh. Yeah, he gets other freedoms, like other
mm-hmm.
greater.
So I read one of the very first coaching tips I ever wrote when we started Impact ADHD was the 10 words that can change your life, your child's life. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite things. And it's really simple. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Or I know you. I believe you can do it. Either way, when they hear that from us, it makes things possible for them that wasn't possible before.
Wow.
So sort of bottom lining it, what do you feel like we focused on in this very brief little coaching?
What? Say that one more time. What? In a
what do you feel like you focused on?
Definitely clarifying what it is I want him to change. We got really
great.
Specific.
And what's your clarity?
The clarity is that I want him to get more responsible, more autonomous on doing his homework planner.
Okay. And what's important about that?
That he will achieve these many benefits that we look for.
Great. So what are you committing to do?
I'm committing to having a conversation first with my husband, brainstorming those benefits, talking about that I believe in you statement that I just typed as you said it, and then having a discussion and helping him see why we're passing this on to him, how it's useful to him, and really coming up with some great points that I think will pique his curiosity, his interest in going forward.
Great. And may I just tweak a little bit, make a suggestion, rather than assuming you're passing it off to him, really that in there with that curiosity of, we'd like to, we think you're ready, are you ready for us to, do you want us to?
Okay, yeah, I get
okay.
it, that's good.
And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Do our best at this and then let it go. And,
great.
You know, kind of see how
okay.
it goes.
Perfect. Thanks for playing with this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So we just have a few minutes left. I don't want everybody else to get a chance to, you know, focus on what do you feel like you focused on tonight. And Elizabeth, I know you came in a little late, but everybody's identified an area of challenge.
Yeah, I focused on getting here.
You got here. You get extra points just for that, and you'll get it when you listen to the call. And if you want, Diane or me to catch you up later on, just email us. We'll work it out with you.
Okay.
So what did you focus on tonight? Clarity that you got. What's your realization? What'd you learn?
Who are you speaking to? Anybody?
What action do you want to take? What action are you committing to this week? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? And Whitney, I see that you just got here. We are just wrapping up.
Oh, I missed okay, thank you.
Just letting you know, but do go back and listen to the call, and if you can go listen to it. Are you there?
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Okay, we'll be putting the calls up. We're trying to get them up tomorrow. But for those of you who have been on the call, anybody want to share with us either what your clarity is or what you're committing to this week?
This is Lara. I would say that one of my clarity things is saying that we think you're ready and pulling off before just pulling off, which I think just probably leaves him in limbo. It's like, I mean, you say it and it sounds so much like every class that I teach, you tell the kids what you're going to teach, what you want them to know at the end. And then at the end, you don't just end the class, you tell them, this is what we just learned, and you check for understanding before you go on to the next lesson. And this is why I say, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't need this, except when it's in my own house, I seem to not be able to do what I do in the classroom, and it drives me crazy. And so, I mean, I see myself, and then I look from your perspective, and I'm like, goodness sakes, why didn't I just use my classroom stuff? And so I think that my goal for this week, I think, is to go back in with my husband, with my son, and say, okay, this is where we fell through, not where you fell through, this is where we fell through, and let's try to get this going again and pick it back up so that we can kind of fix the system and talk about how we're going to step back next time so that when it starts coming, when I start seeing you do this, then I will start thinking it's time to do this.
Right.
And it's so classic.
Of language. Instead of when I start seeing you do this, when I start seeing this happening.
Ah, yes. Good.
Because you put them on the defensive, so just be aware of that language.
Oh, okay. Good. Good to know. Thank you. I was thinking I was being personal with it. But, yeah, and definitely, I mean, I think you're responsible to do this, and I think that you have it, and I see. I mean, those good use that you said from your book, I mean, I will definitely use that in my conversation as well. So that seems very helpful.
Super, super. So, Krista, what about you? Because we haven't gotten targeted on the sleep issue, but what'd you get from this tonight?
You know, I think, first off, the metaphor of scaffolding is really critical because I sometimes worry that I baby, but I think the scaffolding, like, totally puts it into a great perspective. Thank you for that. And I think, you know, my point is, like, really educating myself and looking at some strategies and approaches that I could create a system and really engage Miles in that. I sort of sometimes feel like I'm doing it for him, and I really love really thinking about, you know, first and foremost, does it work for him, and is it easy?
I want to give you a few resources, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually just did a workshop yesterday, a webinar for Attitude Magazine yesterday on sleep and ADHD. So
yeah, I heard the tail end of it, but I was getting my kid to school, so I was like, this is not good.
So the one thing I would do is email them and see if you can get a copy of that webinar.
Yeah,
it was
they
very
did
short,
actually
it was only 40
say
minutes.
That it was, that they
I think
had
it's
it
available.
On, they did say that they have it on tape, so I can go in and get it on tape.
Yeah, I know that if you get it, let me know, you know, that you got it, please. So that's one thing I would say is go listen to it because it was very brief. It was a 40-minute webinar, and I think it was very good because the sleep expert, Dr. Lisa Shives, would give sort of the medical stuff, and then I would come in and say, and here's how you do it, right? So it was a really good one, too. And there is I'm on a website called Making Moments. Actually, it's called ADHDmoments.com, which is a site that Pfizer has done. It's a non-branded site that they've done to, you know, just provide information for parents. And one of the four experts, I'm one of them, and then there are three others, and one of them is the sleep expert, Lisa Shives. So there are several articles about sleep and a couple of videos. So you may want to just go check it out.
Yeah.
So look for the articles by Lisa Shives and the videos. And then if you need some help with that, email me, let me know, and I'll help. I'll definitely
Make
us through it because it is critical. It's hard stuff.
Yeah, and especially now that we even increased his dosage, so we're like, great, Sunday, and now we're struggling.
No, if it's the right dosage, that shouldn't have too much of an impact. So, but getting good sleep habits and good sleep hygiene into place will make a difference.
Yeah, for both of us.
Are there any of the few people that joined in later or anybody else have anything else you want to sort of say or comment or whatever before we close?
This is Lana. I just have one quick question. As it regards to sleep, are there articles on that website or information about teenagers sleeping?
It's about everybody, yeah.
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to ask. Krista, will you get the information and post it on the Facebook forum?
Yes.
And let's start a little conversation on the forum about sleep.
Absolutely.
And tag me in it, and I'll go on and write in some of the notes that I took during the call yesterday because it was really very good.
Okay.
So can I task you with that?
Yes. Come on it. I'm putting it on my to-do list. I have a system.
Got it. You have a structure. All right, everybody have a great, great week, great couple of weeks.
Elizabeth and Whitney, please listen to the call. If you have any questions or you want any follow-up support, just email me directly, okay?
Yeah.
And
is there a workbook?
Talk to you all soon. Say it again?
Is there a workbook that goes with this program?
There is, and if you haven't gotten it, Elizabeth, it's available. I'll make sure that you get a link to it, but it's if you go on to the member section of the website, it's there.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks.
Okay, my pleasure. Everybody have a great couple weeks.
Thank you.
Live from chat.
Thank you.
I'm signing off.
Okay, bye.
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 Bye.